Ali. Yeah. So today, who is preparing for the puja? Oh, is it Christina? Just now I saw her. Where is she? Washroom, I think. Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, Selena. You all can get ready, whatever. Huh? Mm. You need to use that glass to fill up clear water. Huh? Down there, there's a glass. Clear water. No, no, there's another one, clear glass. Never mind, it's okay. Oh, never mind, just put in the middle there. Yeah? In the middle. We can offer another one, no problem. And the candle, oh, the incense, down there is the incense, if I'm not wrong. Yeah, you get ready the incense. So it has been 3 weeks, since we last have our class. So anyway, Kayanamita had a great 3 weeks. We went to different places. We went to Anandagiri. Then we went to China, Ermesan, Chuchaiko. The way place of Pusian. All these are very beautiful places. And some Kayanamita went to India. So those who were on the trip, they actually had a lot of joy and understanding. Then there's a lot of wholesomeness too. Then all Kayanamitas should rejoice because Kayanamita funds actually help you all to donate, so that you all can partake in all those wholesomeness that we have done while on those spiritual trips. Many things happen. So there is a lot of joy, a lot of understanding, a lot of wholesomeness involved. We start at about 8:15 like that, so we still got time. In the meantime, if you got any question you want to ask, you can ask. You will find on your seat, there is some sweet and one pack of don't know what. This one is, I think, from one of the Kayanamitas, to be offered to all. She said there is nothing she can give to Kayanamita except this. She bought from Ermesan, I think. Those who don't have the chanting book, you didn't bring, you can take the Thursday class chanting book. We got a chop there, you don't worry, you won't mix it up. Then if you accidentally take home, bring it back the next session. You should go back and familiarize yourself with this chanting book. If you don't have a copy, you let me know. I still have quite a number of copies at my house. My car there also should have, but I didn't drive today. So you let me know how many copies you need, then I will bring the next class. This puja book is very useful. It has been modified to suit your usage at the moment. We start with the normal chanting, the vandana, means you pay homage to the Buddha. Then after that, you take refuge, tisarana. Then you renew your five precepts, panchasila. Then after that, we will go through the significance of all those offerings, like your offering of light, offering of perfume, incense, offering of flowers, offering of clear water. So when you understand their significance, as advised by Lord Buddha, you can develop better understanding of the Dhamma. Then that will help you to develop the spiritual faculty of Sadhavirya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. Then after that, we will start the invocation of Devas. Then again, we pay homage. Then we chant the salutation to the Triple Gem, Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. Then there is also this salutation to the four main objects of veneration. Then followed by salutation to all the what they call important Buddhist symbols. Then we have this dependent origination, Paticca Samuppada, in both order, forward and backward. Then after that, you have your very, very important beacon of joy, Udanagata. This one is after the Buddha became enlightened, page 10. You turn to page 10. The Buddha said, "Through many above, I wandered in this samsara, endless cycle of birth and death, seeking but not finding the house builder, or the builder of the house." The house here refers to the form and mind. Every time you take birth, the form and mind that come, that is the house. The house, your consciousness. Sorrowful is repeated birth. See, the Buddha knew. He said, "O house builder, you are sin. You shall build no more house. All thy rafters are broken. Your rich pole is shattered. My mind has attained the unconditioned," means Nibbana. "Achieve is the end of craving or attachment, grasping, clinging," means no more delusion. Then we have this Karaniya Metta Sutta. This one is a very beautiful sutta. Metta Sutta is loving kindness. So this one, if you can understand, it has a lot of great meanings. So the Buddha actually recited this sutta because he said, "He who is skilled in doing good and who wishes to attain the state of calm," means to realize enlightenment, Nibbana, "should act thus." So this Metta Sutta, Karaniya Metta Sutta, is a guideline for all cultivators. Understand? Maybe today remind me to share with you on this sutta. I have not done this sutta with you, or I have done with other classes. But because this chanting book was prepared in such a way, is very good. So Karaniya Metta Sutta, discourse on loving kindness. The Buddha said, "Karaniya Metta Kusalena," means he who is skilled in doing good, "and who wish to attain the state of calm or Nibbana, should act as." Then all this follow. So they are very meaningful, full of Dhamma. Then when you understand, it will help you a lot. Then after that, you have these blessings, auspicious blessings, Sumangala. You invoke the power of Triple Gem. This you only use and invoke when you sense danger, when you sense calamity and all those things. So when we were in certain stretches of China during our trip, we chant this. Then in certain places, I also chant this. Then surprisingly, everything falls into place because it invokes the power of Triple Gem. So this one is also another very beautiful sutta. Then further down is sharing of merits, transfer of merit, which is our normal closing puja. Then forgiveness of shortcoming. That one is their original version, but I have modified for you. Then aspiration to the world and for oneself. This one is to chant the blessing for the nation. Then you ask for forgiveness. You make aspiration, then develop the five daily contemplation. This one, every day you must reflect, contemplate, to help you understand the First Noble Truth, to help you develop the wisdom to confront the First Noble Truth realities. The five daily contemplation is very, very important. If you cannot understand the significance, we can go through it again. That's why you must ask. Then asking for forgiveness. This is to break your karmic obstruction. Otherwise, I tell you, for some, if your karmic obstruction is so strong, no amount of diligence and faith can actually make progress for you. You need to ask for forgiveness. That obstruction need to clear. Then only you can move. Your nature cannot move otherwise. Then you must make aspiration for Dhamma to arise, for you to connect, for causes and conditions to arise through nature's law. Otherwise, it's very difficult for you to be out with the wise and develop the understanding of the cultivation. When you meet up with the wise, they will also advise you that you need to have good roots. Good roots means you must ask for forgiveness, break your karmic obstruction, follow the advice of the Buddha, avoid all evil, do good, then purify your mind. If you don't do that, your cultivation will still meet. You cannot progress. So it's not to say it's difficult, but when you don't understand it, very, very difficult. But when you understand, it's like very, very easy. So the bottom line is what? Whether you understand what you do or you don't understand. So when you come back to the three phases of Dhamma, you remember? Pariyatti, Patipatti, Pativeda. So spend more time on the phase one, learning of the doctrine, understanding what you do, understanding what the Buddha Dhamma is. When you clear that one, phase two, Patipatti, is very easy. But if you don't spend enough time on phase one, I tell you, you can knock against the wall for many, many eons, and yet you are still stuck. You cannot break free. Because if you keep on doing the wrong thing, all this will accumulate and condition into very severe karmic obstruction. Then it creates unnecessary obstruction that can actually delude you for very, very long. So all these are very useful. Then the last page is a simple guide to doing personal puja and aspiration. After you know the significance of the offering of light, of incense, of clear water, of fruits, of all the meritorious action, you must also know how to make full use of these merits of the offering, so that you can aspire for causes and conditions to walk the path of Dhamma, to bring forth the causes and conditions for you to actually realize the Dhamma. So these are all specially prepared for you and make simple. So now I hope you understand the significance of this book. You all should thank Padmasuri and Tio, the two of them. We should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This book come about because there was one house dana that they actually invited me and all Kayamitas to go. Then he got an old version and she has been telling me she find it very useful. She has been using it for chanting. And when I saw it, I say, okay, we can modify this house. That's how it come about. and it fall into place because the timing all correct. Kayanamita need this to move faster. Last time was not ready, but because of what happened this year, many things happened. It just happened because it's meant to be. And this book, you don't underestimate its power and significance. It's a very thin book, but very nicely done. And only Kayanamita Fund can print this book. So what we have done is to benefit Kayanamitas. So pay attention to this book. It can bring you very, very far. Actually, you only need to study this book. You will progress very fast. Then all the Dhamma will fall into place. Then you want to really understand the true Dhamma. Look at the whiteboard. These are the essential Dhamma that you need. Oh, 8:15, we better start our puja first. Before we forget. Okay, those who are doing it today, Christina and Serena, you can start. Okay. Yes. Those who don't have the chanting book, you can collect a copy here. But don't take the printed one. This one is for the Thursday class. Because on the first page, on the first page, you see this chop. This one means the Kayanamitas. It belongs to the Thursday class or Tuesday class or Sunday class. So when you see this chop, you remember to bring back so that we have enough supply for every puja. Okay? Okay, we can start the puja now. Okay, we should stand up. Then rejoice. Then we make the offering. You can start with the tray. The tray that has the clear water, incense, and the flower. Just hold it up, the whole tray. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Offer to the Buddha. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then pass it back. Pass it back to Kayanamita. I just touch you, just pass it back. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Then pass it down so that sadhu, sadhu. Bring the next one, the fruits. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Then let Sui An offer the flower. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Offer the flower. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Offer the light also. Yeah, you can knock the thing. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Offer that light, that light, that light. That light. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Pass it back. Then the yellow flower. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Rejoicing is very useful because rejoicing is mudita. Mudita is a meritorious action. When you can rejoice in wholesomeness, in goodness, in kindness, your heart open up. And that joy is very positive in its energy field. It will help you overcome envy, jealousy, unhappiness. And mudita is one of the four Brahma Vihara. So all of the Buddha's teaching, they have a lot of meaning. And very, very meaningful it is. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. This puja is for you to develop the faith, the joy, the spiritual faculty of sadha virya. Then when you do it mindfully, with sincerity, sati arise. Then when your mind very calm, very composed, samadhi can also arise. Then when you act and move with sati and samadhi, wisdom will arise. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. When your heart always has joy and spiritual faculty, you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. Okay, very good. Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Yeah. Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. Yeah. Krishna. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Put it back there. Okay. You can all be seated. Eh? Then we shall begin the official puja. Okay. Compose your mind. Develop the very strong faith, Sadhavirya. Then pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Sakyamuni Buddha. Then we will start. Okay, you turn to your chanting book. Turn to page 4. We will start the vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Yampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Nadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Vada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura miraya majapama dattana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. So now we will chant the significance of offering of light, Padipa puja. Gana sarapaditena dipena tamadang sena tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang. Then wait. Then we will chant the offering of perfume smoke, the incense, Suganda puja. Ganda sambara yutena dupena hang sugang hena pujaye pujani yang tang puja bhajaya muttamang. We shall now chant the offering of flowers. Pupa puja. Vanna ganda gono petang etang kusuma santating pujayami munindasa siripada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punena metena cha hotumokang pupang vilayati yatang edame kayo tata ti vinasa bhavang. We shall now chant the offering of water. paniya puja. Adiva setu nobante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya panigang hotu muttamang. Okay, I will read to you all the significance. With light brightly shining, abolishing the gloom, I adore the enlightened one who dispelled the darkness of ignorance. Then the significance of offering of perfume smoke is, with perfume incense made from fragrant substance, I honor the exalted one worthy of respect who dispelled the darkness of ignorance. Offering of flower. This mass of flower, fresh, hue, fragrant and choice, I offer at the sacred lotus-like feet of the noble sage. I offer thee, Lord Buddha, this flower. May this virtue aid in my emancipation. Our bodies undergo decay even as this flower must fade. And the significant offering of flower, O Lord, the blessed one, please accept this water as an offering to thee out of great compassion for us. Now to further develop wholesomeness out of this offering, you turn to last page 18. Page 18. We will do this puja. This one can act as simple personal puja when you are at home. But as a group, we shall chant the plural. If you are at home, you can chant my. If you are here, our. Okay. This concise puja and aspiration can be used during puja to be done at home or at any way place when you are alone. Offering of light is significant and how we make use of that merit. We read together, we chant together. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and condition to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Then, offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doves off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Then, offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Then, significance of offering of fruit. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flower to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Then we will invoke the power of all these merits to develop the overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened. They become ballast or power. Then the last one is the sharing and transference of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who had the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can be seated. Oh, good. Exactly 8:30. Is Engby here? Oh, she didn't come. Oh, yeah, she's in the nun's novitiate program. Huh? Never mind. So today we will do without her. You want to try? Yeah? Samantha, Invocation of Deva, page 6. Yeah. You got a cordless mic? Where's the cordless mic? At the back, yeah. No, pass to Padmasuri. Yeah. You invite the first four lines. Yeah? Then after that, you finish off with the last two lines. Yeah? Repeat through 3 times. Yeah? Then after that, I will lead the Namotasa onward. Yeah? Okay. Yeah. Correct. Dhammana. Dhammana. Correct. Yes. Badanta. Okay, I'll read to you all the meaning. In the universe, in their entirety, let the devas or deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release on Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the Dhamma, to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine and the Dhamma. This is the time to listen to the doctrine and the Dhamma. Okay, now we shall do the homage. I will chant Buddhang Pujjayami. Then you will pay respect. Okay. We shall salute the Triple Gem. Then after that, we chant the salutation to the Buddha Dhamma and Sangha. Buddhang Pujjayami. Dhammang pujjami. Sanghang pujjami. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Itti peso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho. Vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati sotta deva manusanang uddo bhagavati swakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanyayiko pachatang veditadbu vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Ujjupatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Manyapatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidang chattari purisa yukkani Atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savaka sangho Bahuneyo, Bahuneyo, Dakineyo, Anjari Araneyo, Anuttarang Punyakitang Lokasati. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, yeah? Then we can start our meditation. Okay, just relax yourself, silence your mind, relax body and mind, and maintain some form of attention. Since we have stopped the class for almost 3 weeks, if I'm not wrong. So within this 3 weeks, many things has really happened. So all of Kayanamitas, there is a lot of wholesomeness done on your behalf too. For those who have joined us on the spiritual trip, they will know, they will understand. We had actually two very significant and beautiful spiritual trip over the last 2 weeks plus. The first one was to Anandagiri, Achanachalo. We had a total of 30 monks, forest monks, real forest monks, where we had our enshrinement of Kuan Yin Bodhisattva Rupang, enshrinement of Maitreya Buddha, enshrinement of Sakyamuni, and also we did all the chanting during the enshrinement, especially the Heart Sutta, the Great Compassionate Mantra. Then we also actually had the good blessings to be given the condition to offer the Kadina root. And during that offering, many things happen too. In fact, before that too, many things happen. This is to give you faith, sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya. So those who have been, they know. Then some Kayanamita also has received some of the photos that Achana Chalo sent over, which I forward to our WhatsApp and Kayanamita website. He can give you faith, you should make full use of it, because it's very significant and very wholesome, and many things happen. Different people may interpret the thing differently, but those who are there, they know what happened. And you should develop that faith and that joy, because it's like everything is meant to be fall into place. Then after a week break, it was followed by another spiritual trip to China, Meisan, which is a way place of Pusen Bodhisattva. And we also visit the high mountains of Chuchai, Chuchaiko. Then we also actually managed to visit a lot of this mountain range area. There is one place, Monico, where the waterfall, chi and energy, they were so pure, so beautiful. And everywhere we go, the weather was so kind, so beautiful, and we saw everything. Not only we saw this beautiful fall season, it's like meant to be, it's like they were prepared for us. Then many, many things happened during those visits. And many Kayanamitas actually who had affinity, in whatever way, they developed the connection, the affinity and all those things. And many, many things happen. For those who understand, they will know. What is important is for you to develop the joy. That's why you must rejoice even you don't go. Then you develop the faith, sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, panya. The reason why the spiritual faculty are so important is because the whole lot of cultivation centered on the spiritual faculty. So the two categories of essential Dhamma which the Buddha teach, the five hindrances of mind and the five spiritual faculties. Because we had this break, I would like to summarize the cultivation again. It's very simple. Now that the puja book or chanting book is ready in place for about 2+ months, it was completed in September. You make full use of it, like how I explained to you all their significance and their importance. Because without this puja, daily religious routine that you have to do, you can never develop the spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya. This is what the Buddha has actually tailor-made and suggested to all the monks at that time. That's why you had the pre-puja, post-puja, or closing puja. And every day, every of these Buddhist events that you hold, you need to have this puja. They are very useful. Both the pre and the post. They not only develop faith, spiritual faculty, they also help you to cultivate the 10 meritorious actions. They also teach you how to make aspiration. They also allow you to develop the important understanding of the essential Dhamma, especially the five daily contemplation, the Karaniya Metta Sutta, the Paticca Samuppanna. Then later on, you have the what they call Mangala Sutta too. Then the significance of the Triple Gem too, they were all properly explained. And the significance of all your puja offering, offering of light, incense, offering of clear water, fruits, flowers, everything. They are all clearly explained for you to understand, so that you do with your understanding, for you to develop the faith, the understanding and the wisdom, and to rejoice. That every time you do this puja, you pay respect, reverential salutation to the Triple Gem. These are very wholesome, meritorious actions. Then you renew your precept. Then you make generous offering. So dana, sila, then you meditate, bhavana, you keep your precept. They are all meritorious actions. Then you listen to Dhamma. You straighten your view. Then you rejoice. Then you share these merits during the closing puja. Transfer these merits. Then as Kayanamita, you help out in many aspects of the community work and Dhamma. This provision of service is also a meritorious action. So all these merits after you have to cultivate unknowingly through the puja and attending all these sessions, they are so full of wholesomeness. Then when you invoke the power of wholesomeness following what the chanting book has actually planned for you, it will arise a causes and condition for you to actually awaken. So this is a very powerful way of cultivation. Then when your spiritual faculty are there, hindrance overcome. That's why your mind can become heedful. You are different. You can become more and more mindful. Then after you have done this, you should pay attention to the essential Dhamma and develop the clear understanding of the phase one of Dhamma, Pariyatti. When you understand clearly the essential Dhammas, then you will know how to cultivate. Then when you cultivate, you have to look at the whiteboard. I will not clean it off. The four important support for meditation. These are only done by people who understand the true Dhamma. When you do the meditation without the thought-based method, you do with awareness, understanding. When you have sati, when you understand the teaching clearly, then these four support become very useful. They are the key to enlightenment. Without these four support, almost impossible to penetrate, especially the first two support, relax and aware. Aware means without thought, just silent, relax, just aware before the knowing. Then you have to relax into every stage, every mind state that you experience, no matter what you do. Then the third one is 24 hours to develop the continuity of awareness so that you are fully aware. 24 hours got two meanings. First one is continuous mindfulness so that samadhi develop. The second one is continuous awareness to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, leading to heedfulness. So the continuous awareness and mindfulness to develop the samadhi and to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path leading to apamada or heedfulness is very important. And when this stabilized, you will awaken. Then only you can do the last support. The last support is trust. Trust your nature. No more thought, you know. This one is completely without thought. The initial cultivation, you got a second turning. You need to reflect, contemplate, and inquire deep into the Dhamma to establish the second turning wisdom of Chintamaya Panya. But when you do the third turning, it's Bhavana Maya Panya. No more reflection. You just silence your mind. And you just understand there and then the direct seeing. Then apart from that, you also need to understand the four types of clear comprehension. Clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose, domain of meditation, suitability of place, time and people, and clear comprehension of non-delusion when you are doing your daily mindfulness. The key to meditation is daily mindfulness. Then you have to understand what is contemplation, what is reflection and inquiry, leading to the penetrative understanding. Then only the realization can come to be. Then there are three things that you need to progress along the path of Dhamma: the faith, the sincerity, and the perseverance or diligence. Once your thought do not project and create fear or insecurity or doubt and lack of faith, these three will take you along. You definitely will awaken. Because with the faith, sadha, and the sincerity and the diligence, you will definitely awaken after you have developed the phase one. So with that summary, I will now start the meditation. For those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away start your meditation. You need to train your mind, you need to develop mind sweeping method to stabilize your hindrance, you do it. Then after that, anchor the mind to something. You already trained, you no need to do the mind sweeping method, you no need to even develop a meditation object to anchor your mind. Then you straight away stabilize it. Then you just silent everything. Just relax and aware. Then remember the four support. The four support will be very strong when the five spiritual faculties are very strong. Without the spiritual faculty, you cannot do the four support meditation. You need to have stable spiritual faculty so that your sati and samadhi is fairly stable. Then only you can relax into every state of mind and maintain that silence within. Don't try to know. The understanding will come by itself, it will unfold by itself. The more silent, the more still, and the more aware you are, the clearer you will see the phenomenal world. The fine aggregate of form and mind will become very clear to you. All of the teaching will become very clear to you. So now I will off the light. Then you can start your meditation. I think nobody is new. Everybody has been here today. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Now I will let you meditate. Then I will ring the bell maybe after about 20 minutes. Just relax body and mind silently, mindfully. Come out of the meditation. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed through the training of the mind, through your meditation. Always remember that the form of meditation is to train your mind. If you already know how to meditate, then you don't need to train anymore. You can just silent, sit, relax, aware. Then learn to understand how you function as a human being. Who are you? What are you? What is this called mind that the Buddha talked about? The mind, mano, with its content become citta. Then within the mind there's this aggregate of feeling, perception, activity of mind, sankhara or consciousness. What are they? In Pali it's called vedana, sanya, sankhara, vijnanam. You have to understand them very clearly. The five aggregate of form and mind is the basis of the final summary of the First Noble Truth. The Buddha summarized all of the First Noble Truth suffering is in short. They are just one final summary. Born of delusion, born of ignorance, avijja. Then through Sakaya Ditti, self-delusion, the form and mind grabs and cling onto this five aggregate of form and mind, nama rupang. Rupang vedana sanya sangra vinyanam. When you grab and cling, the Buddha said, the five aggregate of form and mind become grasping aggregate. When they become grasping aggregate, that is the cause of suffering. All of suffering arises because of this grasping aggregate. So in order to understand this final summary of the Buddha, we need to inquire deep. Why did the Buddha say that? How can I understand what he say? In order to understand what he say, you must understand what is this final aggregate of form and mind. And this aspect we have already covered under our earlier discussion. This will explain to you clearly who you are, what you are, what is this five aggregate form and mind all about, what is this human being all about. There was a talk that I delivered in May, 15th of May, 2014. We discussed that. Who are you? What are you? The two aspects of the five aggregate form and mind is very important. Not until you understand what they are, you cannot investigate into the final summary. Because you cannot put to test what the Buddha said. If I attach and cling onto this five aggregate of form and mind, do I suffer? Does suffering arise? And who suffer? What suffer? Because the inquiry is very important, the understanding of this essential Dhamma is very important. Okay, like I promised you just now, I will go through what is on the whiteboard one more time. After you have developed the spiritual faculty through your daily routine or puja cultivation, then you go into the cultivation. As you go into the cultivation, the Buddha's teaching is very easy to understand if you have a clear understanding of his essential Dhamma. All the essential Dhamma that he teaches, they are all interconnected, related. And they all come from Four Noble Truths, spin off from there. Especially the Noble Eightfold Path, the first path factor, Samadhi, right view. When you have right view with regards to all the laws that govern life and existence, especially the three spiritual laws, law of karma, karma niyama, law of mind, citta niyama, and law of truth, dhamma niyama. When these three right views are understood, all of the Buddha's teachings spin off from there. Then you will have a lot of joy, and you will find that the teaching is so easy to understand, so beautifully laid out. Then you will understand everything that the Buddha spoke within the Dhammapada verse. Dhammapada verse are very important. There are 423 Dhammapada verses. These are eternal truth, evergreen, valid all the time. And they point towards the Dhamma. Even Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, the twin verse, talk about the mind. He said, this mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything comes to be. So we need to take care of mind. Mind with its mental intention can create karma. Then when you understand that, you will constantly reflect and contemplate what the Buddha said under the five daily contemplation regarding this form of mind. And the last one is law of karma. The Buddha, through his great wisdom, perfection, he penetrated this law and realized that all living beings, they are subject to this law of karma. There is no exception, you see. All beings, you see, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. You are what you are because of your karma. You cannot blame anybody for what your state of mind is, for your life, because you are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it, and you are what you are because of it. So you understand that karma is so important. What must you do? You must take care of karma. And how do you take care of karma? How do you take care of karma? You must follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good. Then you purify your mind to develop wisdom, to liberate your mind. Then how do you avoid all evil? How? Eightfold Path is correct, but how you do it? How you do it? What did the Buddha prescribe initially? You every day chant in your puja. Take care of precepts. Because what are precepts? They are five basic precepts that the lay people must actually keep. Why did the Buddha say you must keep this precept? Because if you were to go into it, investigate into all the five precepts, you will come to realize that those who violate these precepts, they have the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. They are evil people. They have emotional negativity. They have selfishness. They have envy, jealousy, they have fear, they have delusion, they have insecurity. Their ego are very strong. That's why they have the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion strongly within their own mind state. And because of that, they constantly violate their precept. So you will have to really, really investigate into why you have to keep all these precepts. And these precepts, if you were to chant, what is the first precept? Panatipata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. What is the meaning? You realize only the first two words or first word different. The rest is viramani sikha padang samadhiyami is always the same. What is that meaning? If you cannot remember, you read the chanting book. The Buddha always say, I undertake the training rules to abstain from First precept is what? Killing or causing harm to fellow being. You know how to keep precept or not? You must treat it like a training rule. No? You train your mind not to kill and not to harm. No. Not to say after you kill and harm, then only say, ah, yeah, I break precept already. Oh, next time I be careful. You let that kill precept. Yes, you don't understand what the Buddha want you to do. You have to chant Viramani Sikapadang Samadhiyami. Means what? I undertake, determine seriously the training rule not to kill and harm fellow living beings. And how you do that? How do you do that? You have to be what? Ever mindful of your mental intention, isn't it? That's why when you see something, when you hear something, when you smell something, taste, tactile, feel or think of something, your mind reacts so fast, understand? Or? And that mental intention has been conditioned by your wrong view, your delusion, your selfishness, your evil. They are so latent, so powerful, so strong, so habitual inside. That's why with the hindrance of mind, the heedless are as if dead, spiritually dead. You got no chance of enlightenment. And living beings still don't know. I tell you, 99.999% is heedless living being. And because of that, you cannot keep your precept. You cannot undertake the training rule to maintain the precept. To do that, you have to be ever mindful, very serious about. Because I undertake this training rule not to break, not to violate, means I must understand what the evil roots are. Understand? Huh? The essential Dhamma. They are called evil roots because they are the roots of all evil. They make you very evil whenever they are inside your heart. When there is selfishness, when there is lust, when there is craving, there is desire, you become evil. When you have jealousy, envy, anger, hatred, emotional negativity, you become evil, you become violent. When there is fear, insecurity, delusion, you become violent, you become evil. That's why they are the roots of all evil. They make you very evil. That's why you cannot have selfishness, you cannot have greed, you cannot have lust, you cannot have desire and craving. That's why this coming talk in Klang, end of this month, I think, 28 November. And this is a very important talk. This is about this basic Dhamma. The Buddha actually taught this Dhamma under a very special sutta. They call Sabba Asavak Sutta. You know what is Asavak? How many of you don't know what is Asavak? Oh, so many don't know. How many of you really know what is asavak? Yeah, they should know. Yeah, brother, they, what is it? Yeah. Defilements. Good. Defilements. There is two Pali words the Buddha always use. One is asavak. One is anusaya. What is anusaya? Very good. What is the meaning? More important. Everybody know how to repeat. Like first number two, life is suffering. But they never go into it. What is the meaning of latent tendency? What is so latent about that tendency? Yeah? Yes, very good. Because this latent tendency is latent, deep. The embedded, understand? But there is no condition for it to arise, understand? That's why it's latent tendency that will only be triggered off when there is condition. Just like I always disturb Chui, Sister Chui. You don't step on her tail, she will not react. She very nice. But the moment you step, that's it. But that was last time. Now different. Now she developed understanding, awareness. Last time, you cannot reason with her. You talk politics only, you finish it. You will die under her words. Because the conditioning, the views, they won't listen. They just want to tell you all. Yeah? And these are very latent inside them. That's why when you make a lady angry, you have to be careful. Huh? They use the famous saying, they can chop you into 18 pieces. You see how violent they can be and how evil they can be. Yeah? Why? Because you cheat on them. You make them hate you, angry with you. Yes, I don't push the lady to the limit. They have limited patience though. So when it comes to all this latent tendency, no condition, they won't arise. So that's why those who do samatha meditation, concentration meditation, absorption meditation, because you develop so much energy field, so peaceful, so calm, this latent tendency is suppressed, control, cannot surface, and you are like enlightened. But when you grow old, or when you start to neglect your cultivation of samadhi or concentration, when this mind starts to move and stir again, you come out into daily life, then you realize you still have fear, you still have worry, anxiety, you still have attachment. The First Noble Truth reality can still afflict you. And then you realize you are far from what you think. That is how you test yourself. So Dhamma can be clearly understood when you can actually put it into practice and test yourself. The best test is daily life. Go back into daily life. Go into places where it is very, very, I should say, unconducive for people to meditate. If you can still meditate in such circumstances, then you are really, really somebody who has progressed along the path of Dhamma. Whereas asava is different. Asava is not latent, not trapped inside. Asavas are all sorts of defilement. They are like very, very strong, very powerful, very habitual in tendency. See something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel, or think, it just come out. That's why it's called asava. These defilements are very powerful and they keep on arising. And people with asava are worse than people with anusaya. But of course, anusaya is the most difficult to root out. Asava is easier to root out. And this clang talk on the 28th November, Friday, end of this month, is a very good one. It's based on this sutta, Sabba Asava Sutta. Sabba is all. All of asava sutta, the Buddha got teach the monk how to actually overcome them, how to root them out, all asava. And he recommended, I don't know, 6 or 7 ways to actually deal with them. Of course, the last one is the best. Defilement or asava that has to be removed through development. Development of the 7 factors of enlightenment, which is the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, especially the 4 foundation of mindfulness. But the others are more important. Overcome by wise attention, yoniso manasikara, means by seeing. Then some you have to endure. Some you have to avoid. And there are many others. So this one comes from the title that they gave to me. The title they want to know is knowing and, sorry, seeing and knowing, I think. So this title, the the English translation actually came from this sutta. This sutta say, you can only liberate from this asava if you can understand them clearly, seeing and knowing, no other way. But the word, the translation English word may not be so accurate. Seeing, that word is okay. Because it's a direct seeing, understand? When you see things as they are, direct seeing, you awaken. But knowing, that word you have to be careful. There is nothing to know. Knowing, all of your knowing is knowledge, thought based. It should be seeing with understanding, seeing and awaken. Means understanding leading to realization. You look at the whiteboard. Understanding leading to realization. Understanding is not a knowledge, understand? No? Understanding is a wisdom. So this part is wisdom. This part is the wisdom part. Whereas when you say, I know, knowing is from the word knowledge. Understand? Knowledge is rigid. Understand? Like technical thing, science, scientific thing, very rigid. One plus one, two. But you try to use logic, one plus one can become three. Understand? Where it's non-technical. A man marry a woman, give birth to a child, one plus one become three. Correct? But this got nothing to do with mathematics. Mathematics don't tell you that way. Mathematics is one plus one, two. Two means two. Very rigid one. So they got right and wrong and all those things. But wisdom is not a knowledge. It's not rigid. It's an understanding. When I understand, it applies to all situations. It's not rigid. It depends on condition, situation, who. We are, every one of us is different. Karmically, we are all different. So, when two similar persons encounter a similar problem, you cannot apply the same solution. Because they are all different. There is no such thing as one size fits all. Even here, you know. Your pants all different size. Correct? You cannot say everybody must cultivate like that. Or all the child, you must study like that. Where got such thing? Your different kid got different talent. Even in your whatever study, you have this SWOT analysis. You analyze your strength, weaknesses, opportunity, and threat. Everybody has different expertise. Your strength, you can be strong in certain aspects, certain field. And you have weakness in certain field. And everyone is different. So because of that, that title should be seeing and understanding. But never mind, we maintain that word. Because Brother Gan actually requested for that topic many months ago. I think he requested three. I have finished two. The last one, second last one was emptiness, remember? That talk is very good. No? You go back and listen to it again. That one is very penetrative. Then this coming on will be the last one for the year. And is going to help a lot of people. This particular talk center on asava, defilements, and how you can actually overcome all of defilement through understanding the Buddha Dhamma that the Buddha teach, the essential Dhamma. And he very clearly teach under the sutta. But the sutta is very difficult, very tough. Very few people can talk about the sutta. I spoke the sutta about 8 or 9 years ago. The first batch of Kailamita that was with me. I remember I spoke the sutta in the year 2006. Sambha Asvaksutta, I still remember. Then when he sent me that title, I asked him, why you want to discuss on this particular topic? Oh, then he sent me one e-book. Then inside the e-book, they quote this sutta. But the e-book, that particular author, somebody wrote, because I think that particular, I think it's a monk, very famous monk who gave a retreat in Taiwan. Then they compiled that book based on that title, and they quote the sutta, Sabba Asavak Sutta. So that's how it come about. So if you have the condition, you can come and attend. Then hopefully you will understand how to overcome all of defilement. Then coming back to the what? Oh, I still got time. That sutta, that Karaniya Metta Sutta, remind me. 10 o'clock I will start. Just now you were talking about how to keep the precept, remember? You need to seriously understand what the precept means. Undertake the training rule. How do you train yourself? You must train your mind to be aware, heedful, understand, ever mindful. Otherwise, you cannot see the mental intention behind your thought, your mind. If you don't even know what are the evil roots, the essential Dhamma, you cannot cultivate. You cannot keep the precept. Where you're supposed to undertake the training rule to abstain from all those precepts. And to abstain from all those precepts, you're supposed to be ever mindful of the evil roots behind breaking all those precepts. If you don't even know what is greed, what is its meaning, how deep that meaning is. Just now I already described to you all the words. Greed is not just greediness alone, Anasana. What constitutes greed? The evil roots of greed. Can somebody elaborate? Apart from being greedy, what else? Just now I spoke so much of it. If you can't get this right, you can't really cultivate the precept because your understanding of the three evil roots is very shallow. What constitutes greed? The evil root of greed. The Buddha used the Pali word loba. Not loba. Loba. What constitutes greed? Of course, your greediness is greed, isn't it? A greedy person is an evil person, isn't it? Then what else? Selfishness is the worst, understand? Selfish has got so many meanings, isn't it? When you are very selfish, you care only for yourself. You never bother about other people. You are very selfish in everything you do. When you are selfish, what you do? You try to deceive. You try to cheat. You try to take advantage, Anasara. Then you try to control and own. Possessiveness, everything coming. And these are all greed, Anasara. Then you have craving, you have lust, you have covetousness. All these are the evil roots of greed, Anasara. Desire, lust, craving, covetousness. They are all under this evil root. So when you start to penetrate the meaning of this evil root, then you realize living beings are all the time selfish because of the egoic mind, sakkāditti, where you think you exist, you think you are real. Then you always make decision based on for me or not for me, any advantage to me, no advantage, I don't want to do. That's why selfishness is always there. Then the next evil root is what? Hatred. Hatred is what? Not only you hate somebody, when you are angry with somebody, it's also an evil root. Then what else? Dislike also is an evil root. What else? Jealousy is an evil root. When you are envious of other people, it's also an evil root. When you react to any emotional negativity, that is the evil root of hatred. That's why the Buddha call it dosa. You know what is Malay meaning or not? Dosa. Dosa means what? Sin. See? Actually, it's just the evil root of anger or hatred. They call it sin. Dosa. So this evil root is very powerful. As when you raise your voice with anger, with selfish intention, that is dosa. That is the evil root of hatred, anger. Then what else? Any other example? You will, same as dislike. Even your very subtle, they call it, what they call, the very subtle that are dislike. What you call that? There's the English word. Disdain is very strong already. Very slight aversion. Like when you smell something, that slight dislike. No. That very slight dislike. Like you see something, like you don't like that thing. But it's not an anger, no, it's not a hatred. Like you smell something, you don't like. What is it? Repulsive is still quite a strong word. There's one word I forgot already. Never mind, forget about that word. When I remember, I tell you. Irritation is still quite strong. It's a very subtle dislike. It's like conceit. There's a word, mana, minor conceit. This is minor dislike. They call it, these are still strong words. You see, when you cultivate, you will come to know one. When you really cultivate your precept, when you reach that level of cultivation, the very subtle dislike inside you, you can see one. The fine, very fine evil root. The very subtle one. That come through the back door. Even your enemy, everything, by then, you got no more anger or hatred for them. Maybe you cannot. But there is this reaction to sense object. The very minor one. Very subtle one. The very subtle type of dislike towards that sense experience. You will never know until you cultivate to that level. At that time, I remember, I was going through life. I went to Pasamalama. I remember 1989. That time, my senses were so sharp, so clear. I was fully aware throughout the day. The very instant, especially the smell. Pasamalama, a lot of good food on it. You can smell all sorts of... When I walked through Pasamalama, my senses are fully aware, I remember. That time, very, very, you can call it very cute, the cultivation, very, very, very interesting. The sense experience is so sharp, and the mind, the awareness, the city is so sharp. The very instant it have that sense experience, before the mind can even act, it's fully aware, and how it moves inside there. The discerning is the mind, is still a word, but you don't discern on. Because this one is from the silent mind, it's just aware. And the movement from it, the very subtle one, at that time, there is no more latent tendency, there is no more all this defilement, no more already. But the very slight, very, very subtle one, you can still feel it. Especially when you suddenly, all the nice food, then suddenly, near the drain or what, got tight or smell, then you know, because it's conditioning for so long, you dislike that one. Then very funny one. With the understanding and the wisdom, you smile, then you will go and smell, and you will understand it. Then you realize, it is just the way it is. Sense experience is sense experience. You don't labor, there is nothing. But if you labor, then that aversion that dislike for that sense experience, then you will come to understand if your senses are nearby, that thing will be picked up. Understand? Upon contact, yeah, that particular sense experience will arise. Understand? When it arrives, it's just nature. Understand? No like, no dislike. But how come your mind keep on reacting? Because of the conditioning. Understand? You have been conditioned for so long since birth that this is very bad smell, or you don't like. Especially when people fart, especially those very foul type of smell, because many didn't discharge, then that fart come out, got the one type of smell. You go and test. Very interesting. You see how your subtle inside there, the condition is so strong. But when you can laugh at it, and smell it, and it's like nothing. It's just the way it is. Because your senses are around, understand? And you will pick it up. And when you pick it up, you got two choices. React to it and become miserable. Or learn to understand it and accept it for what it is. Then you are very different, understand? That's a cultivation. As you develop the higher understanding, you will come to know there is so much thing. Just now before we start also, I think Sui An must have penetrated something. Somebody mentioned about the four support. He said, yeah, the first one very important, relax. Oh, now only you start to understand. And I tell you, this support, even experienced cultivator for many, many years, you can go retreat in and out, 20, 30 years. You don't know how to apply this support, I tell you. You don't know how to relax. The art of relaxation. You know how to relax or not? Yoga people know how to relax, maybe physically. Then become physically relaxed, mentally conditioned to be relaxed. But the skill of relaxation is physical and mental, through wisdom, through understanding. And you can relax into so deep, until completely without stress. That is the level of relaxation. It's not just a thought. When there is a thought, you are not relaxed already. You will go into complete silence and stillness and completely relax. Form and mind. Mentally, physically relax. So cultivation, there are many, many levels. So keeping precept, tonight I start to go deeper. You undertake the training rule. You have to train yourself to be ever mindful, heedful. And you have to understand the essential Dhamma of evil root. What are they? You have to go deep into it. That's why the three turning. First turning, when you listen first time, you couldn't understand because you don't have the past cultivation and understanding. Then you go back, reflect, contemplate, and inquire into what the Buddha said and what I shared with you. Then you go deep into it. As you reflect, contemplate, you understand deeper, deeper, deeper. Then the five daily contemplation, this puja book, go into it. So that in future, when you stabilize all this understanding, the Dhamma will become a part of you. And you can confront the First Noble Truth reality easily. Okay, another 10 minutes to go before 10 o'clock. Then I will start this sutta, Karaniya Metta Sutta. Okay, you got any question or any meditation reporting or not? I can maybe deal with one or two questions. Anybody wants to report their meditation? Or ask any question? So far, clear or not? Clear or not? Because we have stopped for a few weeks. I want you to get the momentum back and clear understanding of your cultivation. Like I always said earlier, if you cultivate without understanding, you cannot progress. Like the Buddha said, he started off with what? He started off with inquiry. Why are you not peaceful? Why are you not mindful and aware? Why are you heedless? It's because of the first category of essential Dhamma, the five mental hindrances up there, because the hindrances of mind are so powerful. And you investigate into those hindrances, this essential Dhamma, then you come to realize, yeah, every living being, they are heedless, they got a lot of those things. So what must you do when you know that you are heedless because of the hindrance? What must you do? Huh? cultivate the opposite five, because the opposite five, mental faculty or spiritual faculty, will help you overcome the hindrance. You don't go and fight them, control them, suppress them. Understand? Huh? That's why a lot of people who do thought-based meditation, they go and control, they go and suppress, and they go and fight. Sleepiness also, they go and fight. Then craving, sensual desire, you will, they determine not to have craving. Means what? They control, they suppress their sense experience. They don't want to get angry. That is suppression. You think you are cultivating. I got patience. Don't want to get angry. I tell you, your bottle out, you explode. It's not true like that, cultivate one. When you have spiritual faculty, you won't have the hindrances. So how to cultivate spiritual faculty? Develop what? Faith come from what? This book, understand? Puja, understand? Puja is to develop the faith, the sadha virya, understand? And understand who the Buddha is, how wise he is, how special he is, so that their faith become strengthened, unshakable. Then all the puja not only give you the training to develop the spiritual faculty, it also train you to cultivate all the 10 meritorious actions, understand? And it also teach you how to establish affinity with Triple Gem, how to cultivate the aspiration to progress along the power of Dhamma by invoking the power of merits, and explain to you the significance of all your puja activity, why you pay respect, why you take refuge, why you renew your precept, why you offer flower, light, incense, clear water and all those things, and the significance of the Triple Gem, the teaching, the dependent origination, the Karaniya, Metta Sutta, and all the various sutta. They are all in the puja, chanting book, and the sutta. And this is how the Buddha teach. Without spiritual faculty, you cannot understand his spiritual teaching. That's why you start with puja. Don't underestimate your daily routine, daily spiritual routine. Every day, the puja book must be with you. Early morning when you wake up, before you sleep, in between, when you have religious ceremony and session. This is like your handbook. And with this, you progress very fast. Then when your spiritual faculty is there, meditation becomes very simple. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to train your mind. You don't have to concentrate, force one-pointedness, absorption, all those things. Do all the funny method and technique. You just sit, relax, silent. The sadha will make you very peaceful, very calm. Your mind very composed. Then the virya will make you mindful. Then when you silence your mind, peace will dawn upon you. Then sati stabilize to become samadhi. Then you can see things as they are. Then wisdom arise. When the spiritual faculties are there, the seven factor of enlightenment will be there. Because the spiritual faculty is the base for enlightenment factor. Within the spiritual faculty, sati, samadhi, and piti. Virya, they are enlightenment factor as well. And sadha is to strengthen the rest. Then panya constitute the other enlightenment factor. Without panya, there is no other enlightenment factor. Like equanimity, all those things, it must be born of wisdom. So all these are related. So you must understand the importance of the spiritual faculties. Then you will understand the importance of precepts, the importance of puja, the importance of being heedful to be able to keep the precept. That's why the Buddha under Dhammapada verse 121, keep on reminding living being. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are ascended. So all of cultivations centered on heedfulness, nothing else. You cannot be heedful. Spiritually, you are as if dead. You can say you are a super meditator. You cultivate vipassana. You meditate a lot. But you are never heedful. No meaning, understand? You got what jnana, so what? You are not heedful at all, understand? So without heedfulness, spiritually you are as if dead. Why can't you just spend some time to understand what this word means, apamada, heedfulness? And from there, develop the actual correct understanding to cultivate appropriately. You progress faster, I tell you. Okay, good. Now we can start that Karaniya Metta Sutta. You got no question? We will start. Okay. Turn to that page. Page 11. Okay, page 11. Karaniya Metta Sutta. Discourse on loving kindness. So the Buddha, when he actually taught this sutta, he told all the devas and the monks at that time, is it? That's why the devas, especially the higher beings, they like this sutta. You remember when we at Cameron? They request to some of our Kayanamita to chant this. Then luckily Engbi and Pamasuri, they over there. So we chant this. Karaniya metta kusalena yantang santang padang abhisao mecha. This one last time, my daughter very good. She can sing this very well. Then sabbe satta bhavantu sukhitata. Okay, now we go through the English translation so that you understand its deep meaning and significance. This one can bring about great condition for enlightenment. The Buddha say, he who is skilled in doing good, you not only do good now, you must be skilled in doing good. How many of you are skilled in doing good? Hey, put up your hand. Oh, actually laugh like anything. How many of you are skilled in doing bad? Both also don't have. So you stay in the middle. In equanimity. Neither do good or bad. Then you stay in this world for one. They say kiasu. Both sides also dare not touch. Means you don't know what is good, what is bad. Skill means what? When you are very skillful in something means what? Like badminton. You say you are very skillful means what? You are very good in a game there. Means what? You got complete understanding and control over the game there. You want to return the shuttlecock baseline, you will go baseline. That corner, you will go that corner. That's not. You want to return half court or at the net. Then you want to attack those your opposite opponent weak in certain aspect of the game, like backhand or what. Then you just push the shuttlecock there. They got problem retrieving it. Means they are not skillful yet. Skillful means anywhere people attack you, you can return the shot. It's like cultivation, spiritual. Wisdom is not rigid. It's not just, you don't attack my backhand, I can return all the shot. Then you still got a weak point. But spiritual understanding is different. When you have wisdom, you are completely free. There is no weak point anymore. because the root of delusion has been uprooted. Anasana. So you are so skillful in the training of the mind until the mind is completely liberated, no more delusion. So when you are very skillful in doing good, means you know and understand what is good. You really, really, like in any game, when you are very skillful, you know the game inside out, and you have complete understanding of what is good. And you are so good and so skillful in doing. Every moment, every instant, your mind is with all this wholesomeness. That's why you got a lot of goodness in you, kindness in you, virtue in you. You rejoice a lot. You are always happy, peaceful. You always have contentment, gratitude. You don't have the evil root of jealousy, aversion, unhappiness. Understand? That's why skillful in doing good means skillful in all the wholesome action, wholesome speech and wholesome thought. The Sabba Asavak Sutta got teach all this thing. I give you some hint. He said, when you have yoniso manasikara, wise attention, at the moment of sense experience, then when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, tactily feel or think of something, what happened? What happened? When you have wise attention, wisdom. The unarisen evil root or hindrance can never arise. The arisen one will dissipate and disappear. Whereas if you don't have wisdom, you don't have yoniso manasikara, if you attend to certain sense experience without yoniso manasikara, the unarisen hindrance, evil root, comes to be. The arisen hindrance or evil root strengthen and become more fierce. That's how you know whether you attend to all the sense experience correctly or incorrectly. Understand? Huh? So you can check. When you cultivate until you got more and more anger, more and more emotion, more and more fear, more and more greed, more and more problem, more and more of this restlessness and hindrance of mind, then you know your cultivation is completely out of the way. Understand? Huh? You are completely out, of tension. That's why it's very easy to check. When your personality starts to change, when your character starts to change for the better, you become a more kind person, more pleasant person, more friendly person, more loving, full of joy, full of compassion, full of love and peace, full of equanimity. Then full of generosity, full of contentment, gratitude, respect for elders and all those things. Then full of this, what they call eagerness to be of service, to help people, to be a blessing to all, no more negativity. And then you will know you have progressed very well. Then when you have less and less thought, less and less problem, less and less fear, worry, anxiety, then one day, no more. Every moment, every instant, you are so peaceful, so full of joy. And you understand everything just the way it is. And you can accept everything for what they are. Then you understand the universal characteristic very clearly. Then you understand what this form of mind is all about. Then you understand the universal characteristic inherent in all phenomena, physical, mental, and nature's phenomena. Then you penetrate. Then the mind liberates. Then you can sing the pigeon of joy. Just like what the Buddha did. You want to sing one more time? No? Who knows how to sing? They didn't compose a song. They didn't compose a song yet. So who is a good composer? Maybe I give you all this assignment. Because if you can make it into a song, it will help a lot of people. No? The Buddha said, when after his enlightenment he has this joy, billion of joy, through many above, he said, I wander in this samsara. You know what is samsara? Endless cycle of birth and death. Seeking but not finding the builder of this house. You know what is this house or not? Huh? Your form and mind, understand or not? The so-called human being. And who is the builder? Who is the builder? Craving born of delusion, ignorant. So the Buddha says sorrowful is repeated birth. Because every time, wherever there is birth, there is what? Wherever there is birth, there is what? Old age, sickness, and death. And you have to confront all the other First Noble Truth reality. Separation from loved one and prized possession. Be with people whom you don't like. You have to confront situation when things don't go your way. When your expectations are not met. Then when you deludedly grasp and cling on to this so-called human being or living being or fire aggregate or form in mind, suffering will arise. That's why the Buddha said, sorrowful is repeatable. O house builder, you are sin. Means the Buddha has completely, clearly liberated his mind and know what this house builder is all about. Then he said, you shall build no house again. Means no more rebirth. All thy rafter has been broken. You know what is rafter or not? Huh? The barrier that you lay from the ridge pole down to your, what they call the bottom, they call it this supporting beam, the roof truss, the base. Then the ridge pole is the center one that holds all the rafter together. Then he said, your ridge pole is shattered. It's completely shattered. When the ridge pole is shattered, the rafter will all collapse. Understand? So the roof cannot be built. Then the Buddha said, the mind has attained the unconditioned. It has realized Nibbana. Achieve is the end of craving. Means no more delusion, the conditioned craving. That's why the mind liberate. So now come back to the discourse on loving kindness. He who is skilled in doing good and who wishes to attain the states of calm or Nibbana should act thus. So the first one is what? How should you act? He should be able, upright, perfectly upright, obedient, gentle, and humble. So these are the qualities of enlightened beings. So you should be able means you should be skillful in certain aspects of life, like Dhamma and all those things. Then upright means righteous. Understand not? Perfectly upright means, like the Buddha said, all evil you have to avoid. Not just avoid evil. No. Because people always say the advice of the Buddha, avoid evil, do good, purify the mind. Sabba papasa is not avoid evil. Sabba is all evil you have to avoid. So perfectly upright means no chance for crookedness. Obedient in the sense that You don't just be a good boy, you know, obey everything. No. Obedience means in accordance with nature's law. You don't violate nature's law. You abide by nature's law. You don't create negativity like law of karma. You abide by it. Then gentle and humble. These are very good qualities. When you have gentleness, when you have a lot of humility, and when you are very humble, the ego becomes less and less pronounced. Then finally, you attenuate, reduce, then you root it out. Then the next one is what? You have to be contented. That's why the Buddha said contentment is the highest what? Blessing, or what they call wealth. You know why is the highest wealth or not? You mean we are contented and very rich? Huh? What is the meaning? Contentment is the highest wealth. A very rich guy, if he is still not contented with what he has, is he rich? He still want, he still want to work, he still want to make money. Whereas if I'm very contented with what I have, I no need to work and I no need to look for money. I am very, very wealthy. Your wealth is measured by what? Whether you still need or not. When I don't need anymore, miss, I'm very wealthy. That's why it's the highest wealth, contentment. And it's also the highest blessing. Because when you are very contented, you got no problem. When you are not contented, you got a lot of problem. You know why? Your envy, your jealousy come from what? Your envy, your jealousy come from what? Lack of contentment, isn't it? You are not contented with what you are, isn't it? That's why you compare. Then you got jealous of your colleague. Why he get promoted and not promoted? Or you get jealous with your sister. Why your mother, your parent always love her more than you? Because you are not contented with what you have been given. You always compare. Understand? So lack of contentment is a negativity that can actually cause you a lot of suffering and misery. But if you are contented and easily supportable, means what? You are a very simple person. My friend, they all know. Even my in-law, they know. I'm very simple. Whatever you cook, I can eat on. I since young, I'm like that. You know, when I was very young, you won't believe. My mother, she very limited budget, and we got big family, 9 of us. So we never go to supermarket or shop to buy clothing. No. Even my uniform. My mother go and buy cloth and sew himself. No. And you know, I go to school, you know how. The sleeve, one long, one short. Sometimes pocket also, how shape. And my classmate used to laugh at me. Then sometimes the cloth you buy is so cheap. 1 meter, only 1 ringgit, or don't know what. Then he come back with his self-learned type of sewing. She could really make the clothes and all the things for us. And I was full of joy having this clothing. Then even when my classmates laugh, I just look at them and say, I don't understand why they are laughing. I'm so contented with what my mother has done for me. Because we got so many brothers and sisters. It's better than got nothing to wear. Then I'm very simple. You can laugh. You can laugh. But end of the day is what I have within me. Since young, I already know that. You laugh, I say. End of the day, see, the one who laughs laugh the most. So when I was in the school, standard one, I remember, I was last in the class. Then standard two, I was the second last. I got another neighbor, friend, classmate, said that too. I said, luckily got you, otherwise I lost again. Then you know what happened. There's curriculum card came to us. Standard two, you must fill up on your ambition. That time I don't know what is ambition also. Then they tell me you can put anything. You can put teacher or doctor or engineer or what. Funny thing. A lot of people put teacher, but at that time teacher very, what they call respected profession. I go and write engineer there. No? I also don't know why I go and write engineer there. My this classmate who sat near to me, he said, Keng Kong, what you write? I said, you'll see lah. He saw engineer. He laughed and I took my card out to the class. No? You know what he said? I second last in the class. No? He said, Ken Ku want to become an engineer. He said, the whole world engineer already. Whole world engineer. We are second last in the class, so can become an engineer. But funny, you know, I didn't even get unhappy. You know. I just look at him and I smile. I said, okay. Let's see how And you know, end of the day, what happened or not? The whole school. I was the only one that entered engineering in MU. Yeah. I mean, my dad batch from primary school, I won. Mm. Of course, there are a few more that came from another school. Kiet Hua, Chinese educated one. They also got a few that entered MU. But for my English educated one, I was the only one. The rest all went overseas. See? You laugh. End of the day, it is still what your karma take you. So you must have contentment, easily supportable. Not a burden to others. This I had since I was born, when I was young. My mother told me I'm very independent. I never cry. I need to pee-pee, I just one sound. I hungry, I also one or two sound. Then I know how to rock the bed with my leg. The spring, the rubber one. That was what my mother told me. I don't know. Then he said, I'm very easy to jaga. No problem at all. Then we feel duties. These are very important. Don't forget, you have your spiritual life. Wait, I just see who. Oh, my son, wait. He forgot his key. Where was I? Few duties. Don't like work for money, work until no time. I used to share this, I used to give this talk on understanding life. Remember? Oh, clang people didn't hear. I always give this talk. Understanding life is purpose and meaning. God lah, I go to clang and teach a few times lah. You all should remember, I give you this example. When you are young, you got a lot of time. A lot of what they call energy, no money. No money. Then when you come out to work, you got a lot of energy, you work very hard, you got a lot of money. You got no time. Then when you old already, you're successful, you got a lot of money, a lot of time, you got no more energy. So why you want to go and make your life upside down? Now you remember I gave the talk. You missed the talk. They all know. Kelly, they all know. Because they always laugh at it when I talk about it. I always say, you need to work, you work. You have to work, you also work. Understand? No? You know the difference or not? The meaning. Because some people don't know how to retire. Or no. Even my classmate asked me, hey, you retire, what you do? I say, this type of question also you have. I say, to be able to retire is the best. Understand? No? You do what you like to do lah. He looked at me, you know, what you mean you like to do? You don't have anything you want to do, Anna. He said, very boring one. If I'm out of job, or I don't have a job, 9 to 5, the 1 week very difficult to pass. Means these people have to work, otherwise they don't know how to pass their time. The other one is not enough money, need to work. But if you are contented, simple life, then you can actually make a choice. Understand? When you choose to have more time to yourself, means what? You retire because you want to do the things that you want to do. Understand? That will make your life better. so that you are happy. And so you will be happy doing what you want to do. You will be very unhappy doing things that you don't like to do. Understand? So things that you like to do, there are so many things. Understand? But of course, you must have understanding. Without understanding, very difficult. So few duty, simple in livelihood, control in senses, discreet, not impudent. So all these are great qualities. Not be greedily attached to family. This one is a very important one, though. Don't have attachment to your loved ones and family. You can love them with all your understanding and all your feeling, but do not attach. That's why here the word is greedily attached. Like good food, the Buddha say, never say cannot eat, no. But don't attach to that sense experience. Don't become miserable when there is no condition to have good food. So love one also same. When they are conditioned to love, when they belong to you, biologically, through nature's law, then you have a duty. You need to provide them with love, support, and all those things. Because you have to do your duties, and so then you will be rewarded based on nature's law. But you don't attach. Otherwise, you become miserable. And so you become afflicted. So next one is, he should not commit any slight wrong. Understand? Slight wrong also cannot. No? So you don't try to justify. No? I think a little bit okay. Lah. they don't know. when you start to justify like that, you got big problem. He should not commit any slight wrong so that other wise men might censure him. So this one, you will come to understand as you cultivate. Then may all beings be happy and safe. May their hearts be happy. That's why you always have this loving kindness and metta in your heart to wish all beings well and happy. And when you wish them, you will be well and happy too. Because the karma reward is you reap what you sow. When you wish people well-being and happiness, happiness and well-being will come back to you. When you harm, kill, and cause suffering and misery to fellow living beings, karmically, you reap what you sow. People will harm you, torment you, kill you. And you will have to reap what you sow. You cannot run. Then the next one is, whatsoever living being there are, whether weak or strong, without exception, long or large, medium, short, minute or massive, those seen or unseen, those dwelling near or far, and those born or yet to be born, may all beings without exception be happy. So this is the metta you must radiate to all beings, so that you cultivate great affinity with all beings, so that when you are peaceful, when you radiate happiness and joy and well-being to them, karmically you will receive. Let not one deceive another, nor despise any person whatsoever anywhere, either in anger or in ill will or emotional negativity. Let him not wish each other harm. Can you do this? If you can do this, your evil roots of anger and hatred will be rooted out very fast. Can or not? Can, eh? Can you not deceive anybody, including yourself? No? You understand not? Not to deceive yourself is a very powerful understanding. No? It's just like, do you love yourself? Do you love yourself? I don't mean the type, you love your own self. What is the meaning of love? When I say I love my children, means what? Means what? You will go all out to protect them and give them the best, isn't it? You will not wish them harm or any suffering or problem, isn't it? That is what you mean by love, isn't it? So loving yourself means what? Same as you care for your child, you don't allow yourself to be miserable, unhappy, sorrowful, full of fear, hatred, jealousy. Understand now? Means you love yourself and all. You will not allow yourself to have all this suffering and problem and misery. But human beings' problem are, you look around, I tell you, 99.99% don't love themselves. Whole throughout their life, you know what they do? They get angry and miserable. They harm themselves. They hate themselves. They become miserable over many, many things. They got so much fear, worry, anxiety, attachment. This is harming yourself, hurting yourself with your own wrong thought. Understand? That's why you never love yourself. Understand? Understand? So don't deceive yourself means what? Huh? Can you be honest to yourself, true to yourself? Huh? Don't lie. Don't deceive. If you can't even be honest to yourself and true to yourself, then how can you live? How can people expect you to be honest and true to them? Understand? Even you yourself got no control over your mind, understand? You know you have to keep the precept, but craving, delusion, emotional negativity, the evil will overpower you, understand? That's why you cannot be true to yourself. So, let no one deceive another, nor despise. Despise means you don't like any person whatsoever everywhere. Either in anger, this one is added heavy load on, heavy weight. When you are in anger and have this evil root or ill will, you also should not wish each other harm. Then just as a mother would guard her only child as at the risk of her own life, even so towards all beings, let him cultivate a boundless heart or a boundless love. So these are very difficult to do when you are not at the level of cultivation. But when you are at the level of cultivation, you can sacrifice, you can do a lot of things. Then let thoughts of boundless love pervade the whole world, above, below, and across, without any obstruction, without any anger, hatred, and enmity. This is metta. You do universal love, universal metta. Whether he stand, walk, sit, or lie down, as long as he is awake. Awake means what? Heedful, aware. Let him develop this mindfulness. This, they say, is the highest conduct. Understand? When you have mindfulness, when you are heedful, when you are awake, that is the highest conduct. You can never do anything wrong. That's why heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Not falling into wrong view, virtuous and endowed with the true seeing or insight, wisdom. He discard attachment to sensual desire. Truly, he does not come again to be conceived in a womb. Means this one already enlightened. Then by the firm determination of this truth, may you ever be well. By the firm determination of this truth, may all illness be destroyed. By the firm determination of this truth, may peaceful victory be yours. So these are very powerful sutta that can bring about great condition for good life. That's why we always chant, Ittena Sachavajena Soti Te Ho Tu Sapado. So this is to invoke the power of this determination of mind. So by the firm determination of this truth that you just chant through the Kayana, Karaniya, Metasutta, may you ever be well. Means you will not have problem. You will always have well-being within you. Then by the firm determination of this truth, may all illness be destroyed. So when you have disease and sickness, this sutta can help you too. Ittena Sachavacena Sabbarogo Vinasatu. You remember? Sabbetiyo Vivajantu. It's quite similar. Invoke the power of Triple Gem. And next page is the one where it's Sabetiyo Vivajantu Sabrogo Vinasatu. See? Sabrogo Vinasatu. May all sickness be healed. Mate Bhava Tvantarayo Sukhidigayo Bhava. So this one is by the firm determination of this truth, may all illness or sickness be destroyed. Then Itena Satcha Vachena Hotu Te Jaya Mangalam. This is Mangala Sutta. By the firm determination of this truth, may peaceful victory be yours. So these are all the important pointers towards enlightenment, towards good life. So if you slowly develop the understanding, it will help you in many ways in your cultivation. Okay. Oh, 10:30, we finish. Yeah. So we will do the closing puja. Okay, sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha pumata devanaka mahindika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed one. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this merit accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati heto cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be prosperous and peaceful always. And may the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Now we will make our what they call aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Bedang pejemi. Damang pejemi. Sanghang pejemi. Okay, we shall end. Thank you.
class next week, but the following week, 27th, are off. We are there for 1 hour long.